KQSS Miami.
It's country and more,
Mila 101.9.com. And it is 5:29. We're a minute early, but better than 5 minutes late, and that's just the way it works. And we have Tim Humphrey, who is, of course, Chairman of the Board of Supervisors of Gila County and District 2 Supervisor, who joins us every month to let us know what's going on, and you never do your part. Your part is to call, and maybe today you will want to do that, because we are going to talk about the Tri-City Sanitary District. But I gave that away. So let me give you the phone number, and that is 888-876-5593. 8888-R-O-L-L-Y-E. And we have Tim Humphrey with us. And how's it going, Tim?
It's going fine, Roy. How are you this evening?
Yeah, I can't complain. I think I've got some intestinal thing, but you were saying you knew other people. Maybe it's going around.
It might be going around. Maybe this wind will blow it away.
That'd be nice. Yeah. I'll take it.
Yeah, maybe it will. Yeah, it's we've got an awful lot of things going on, but there's, you know, been a lot of things stirred up and things going around about Tri-City, so we can start off. I invited Robert Jacques, who is now, he can tell you all the things that he's doing with this if he's available. Robert, are you on already?
He is.
I'm here, Tim. Can you hear me?
We can hear you just fine.
Perfect. And thank you for all you've been doing. You know, I've been following this for what seems like a decade now, and nothing was going on. And since you've taken over, it's really taking off. Congratulations and thank you.
Thank you for that compliment, but I'm just one of five board members who are supported by an excellent, excellent staff, and it's that combination of people that is making this go, and we are all bound and determined, Raleigh, to make this happen.
Excellent, because I know there's a number of people who literally don't have septic, their lots won't take it, they're on cesspools, they're on pins and needles saying, what if this fails? So we need a sewer system badly.
Well, I wish those people, it would be great if those people could come to our board meetings, which we are having a board meeting tomorrow night at the IBEW Hall on 188. It begins at 5:15. We generally have our meetings the second Monday of every month, but some people expressed concern that I was going to have a board meeting on Valentine's Day, and that's not how they wanted to celebrate that day with their special other. So I capitulated and moved it to Wednesday. But generally, we're on the second Monday at the IBEW Hall, and we really, really welcome members of the district to come in and hear what's going on. People say, how do we get all the current information? The way to get that is to come to the board meetings.
And I'd just like to jump in and say real quick, Robert, that you have a lot of good information, because if people are receiving information off the street, a lot of times it's incorrect information or information that was assumed or picked up somewhere or they heard. And so it's not, you know, by going to your meetings, that's straight from the horse's mouth. It's exactly what's going on, and they can ask questions. And so, you know, instead of wondering what's going on or ask at the barber shop or the beauty shop, it would be good to show up and get your own questions asked and answered by the board that's actually running the thing.
Well, I'll tell you, Tim, the people coming to board meetings have questions, and that's great. We operate under the open meeting law, so there is a limited amount we can give back if it isn't on the agenda. But the really positive thing about that would be maybe we get a question that prompts us to understand we need to do more outreach. And I have been deficient in pushing that we need to be in the public eye more to prevent, as you say, the generation of false information. We can do a better job at being visible to the public, and that's one thing we are going to work on. But we welcome questions because people have a different perspective, and it may prompt us to rethink certain things. So the more input I feel, and I think the board agrees, the more input we get, the better.
Okay, well, the thing, if you'll share some information with us, maybe somebody will call in. So where are you at with it? Where are you going? I thought the information that you shared on the lift station with the Little League baseball field, you cleared up a lot of things for me that people had been asking me about, and so that would be good, some good information to share if you care to.
Well, we really appreciated. We attempted to reach out to the Little League, to Pinal Mountain Little League, just focusing on that for a second, because we were looking at putting the lift station on the south edge, at the southeast corner of their facility. We had reached out unsuccessfully. Maybe we could have tried harder, but they reached out to us, and that really started the ball rolling with them. We look forward to working with them, to providing them service, and also to help them achieve some of their long-range goals. I know a couple of board members I've talked to really want to clean up the facility and make it look special, and we look forward to partnering with the Little League to do that. So that has been a very positive development for us. Where we are now, I think the listeners need to be aware this is a three-phase project, and the reason it is in three phases, in other words, the whole project has been developed, it's been divided into three phases. We are working on phase one. That has happened because of the limitation of funding on USDA Rural Development's part. They've asked us to divide the project into three phases, which we have done. At this time, we are working on the detailed design and engineering on phase one. Our engineer, Pace Engineering, who I have to tell you, Tim, is just absolutely great to work with. I've never seen a fellow like Mike Krebs, who was the project manager, work as hard and as long as he has on this project. He's been with us now over 10 years. I only joined the board in 2020, and it is really great to work with somebody who is committed to this project and who continuously reaches out to our stakeholders, if you will, to try to make things work more smoothly. So we are in the engineering phase of the project. We are doing detail. We have done aerial surveying. We are now doing on-the-ground surveying. We are working with Arizona Water and with the gas company to be very clear about where their buried lines are located. That is critically important to the project, because the last thing you want to have happen is during construction hit one of their lines. The gas lines are they're easier to locate because they're metal and they're traced. The water lines in most cases are not metal, and we rely on locations where Arizona Water, Freddie Rios and his people have worked very well with us, and it's because they're...
I think we just lost you. You're on a cell phone. Hello.
Uh-oh. I've noticed today that Verizon has been having quite a few issues. We couldn't get calls in or out about an hour ago. Are you there, Bob?
I am here. Okay. I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay. Well, we lost you there for a minute.
Okay. All right. Well, everything I said, Jim, was important, and you didn't hear it. What's going on?
I think
we heard most of it. You were proud of the engineering company and moving forward on that.
And the Little League, and of course, you had
been with the Little League, and now you're working with the utilities.
Yeah, APS.
And Southwest Gas and APS lines are easy to find.
Yeah, because they're not underground. They pride themselves on being an overhead company. Don't start me.
Yeah.
Well, you want to see where that electricity flows around.
Yeah, right. Right. That's what I want to see. And we don't need no redundancy, nothing like that.
But I'll speak up for APS. Mike Krebs, who was our project manager with Pace Engineering, has interfaced with APS at the location of the lift station. They have a porthole there, guy wires, etc. And I have to tell you, they have jumped through hoops to work with us.
You know, I'm not surprised.
They will work with us. We will adjust our location as necessary. But really, APS has said that's not necessarily. We'll redo what we need to do. And that's really, we're seeing that kind of cooperation from Southwest Gas and Arizona Arizona Water as well. And we are interfacing with Eastern Arizona Railroad because we will be crossing under them at a couple locations. So we have a really good relationship with the utilities, and I refer to them as stakeholders as well. So we're in the surveying phase, preliminary design phase for phase one. We've located the lift station. We are in, I guess I can say, the final stage of negotiations with regards to the location of the water treatment facility. People really want to know, where's it going to be?
Yeah.
How is it going to impact us? And it's an unfortunate situation that the landowner and Tri-Cities have a non-disclosure agreement, which means we can't really say anything about that facility until the landowner fully commits to the site we want. And we are very close in that. But the organization we're dealing with is mammoth. They are spread across the world. And unfortunately, it's not like reaching out, say, to Phoenix and getting decisions there. We literally are going to two different continents as well as the U.S. Trying to get input, concerns, and get documents signed so that we can move forward with the detailed on-the-ground engineering for that facility. It is not holding us up. We are going ahead with our design for the collection system, really until we get beyond the lift station, we are not being held up with that, let's say, hold up on the water treatment facility. So that's basically where we are on phase one. On phase two, and in fact, it's interesting that in the recent past, Rural Development, that's USDA, Rural Development, who was really the driver on this project, has come back to us and asked us to look at the possibilities of combining phases two and three. As I said before, the project was divided into three phases because of the limited funding available from RD. Now, because of whatever's going on in D.C., there's this feeling that monies will be available. And so we are doing our preliminary engineering work, where Pace is working on finalizing the preliminary engineering report. We have gone through a technical review of that document with them. They are now talking to RD about the document. We will have a special board meeting at a time to be determined to have a presentation from Pace on the PER. We are looking at phases two and three separate versus combining phases two and three. There may be some cost savings if we combine it, and it may also lead to the more rapid development and finalization of the other second phase and third phases. So basically, that's where we are on the project. And as I say, we're just moving ahead. I'll tell you what, every day there's a new hiccup. There's a new stone in the road that we have to take care of. But it's really, I'm really enjoying this, and working with great people makes it all the better.
Now, it's unfair to ask this, but of course I will anyway. If we were to let you wave your magic wand, I know these are at best raw estimates. When do you think that these phases will actually be in use for people?
I knew you'd ask that question,
yep.
Raleigh.
Oh, I absolutely. So guaranteed.
I'm prepared for that. No, we have kicked this around a lot. Talking about phase one, we are contracted. We have drawn, RD has drawn the line in the sand and said, we want construction-ready bid documents from you by mid-September this year, 2022. Mm-hmm. So we will have our documents to them. They will go through a review and comment process. I anticipate we will begin working on our construction bid package sometime during the fourth quarter of 22 to go out for a bid, our bidding period, the first quarter of 23. And if everything goes well, we will begin construction probably the second quarter of 23. And our goal is to end construction and be in startup on phase one by the end of the second quarter, 24. I know that seems like a long way out, but let me tell you, it's going to be here before we know it.
Absolutely.
It just goes so fast.
Well,
for phase two.
I was going to say, considering how long it's been, that's actually kind of quick.
Well, I don't look at the history. I enjoy talking about the what's and what ifs and all that, but we're just moving forward. So, yes, but you're right. It's been a long time, and we're not that far away from starting up phase one.
All right.
On phase two, we're probably looking in the 25, end of the second quarter of 25. But there's a lot, and we're learning as we go, but there is a lot that has to take place before that. So we're looking second quarter of 25 and maybe phase three a year later. But it's all a function of do we do phases two and three separately, or can we combine them? And if we combine them, it's going to be a sizable project. And so now you're talking about, can we get a construction firm on board that has adequate capacity to take on those two phases at once? And the other side of the coin is we want to use local contractors as much as we can.
Good.
Well, good. Yeah, and even if that would be under a subcontract base, correct?
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, good. I appreciate, you and I have been talking about it a long time, and I've been supporting it ever since, I was elected and to Washington back and forth and trying to lobby to get funding. I've been real happy to see you get on board with your enthusiasm. And, as you say, there's always things going on, and I'm sure that you're never going to run out of hurdles, but I guess with the head of steam that you have now, it would take a pretty big push to stop this ball from rolling, wouldn't it?
Wow. I guess I would agree with that, Tim. But, you never know what's going to happen. I think you're right. It would take something really, really significant to stop us from moving forward. But then you have the things that occurred within the last 2 weeks. And again, some of that we could have been proactive on to prevent that. But it's that kind of false information that gets people riled up. And that isn't good for the project. But again, it goes back to us being proactive and being more in the public eye. And the best way we can have that happen is by having people attend our meetings. Because we hear all the time, reason people don't come to your meetings is they don't think they have any say. Well, come and test us, come and try us out. The other thing that is still uncertain. We're confident we're going to be funded for phases two and three. We've got great people working with us at Rural Development, And the fact that we have really gained momentum has really, really helped our cause. So going back to what you said, yes, it would take something big. I have to agree. I don't think that's going to happen. But, you know, I don't want to be proud. I don't want to be boisterous. I just want to get the job done. So I'm going to keep my nose down, my butt in the air, and just working to get this done.
Excellent. That's good to hear that you're rolling and you're enthusiastic and things are going forward. And your meeting again is tomorrow when?
We meet tomorrow night at 5:15. Our agenda is published at the bulletin board at the Claypool Post Office. So people can go there and see what we are going to be doing tomorrow night. We've got about 18 issues we're dealing with, things that we need to tackle to keep us moving forward, things we need to begin thinking about, future activities so we don't run into roadblocks, and things we can do differently. We're looking now, one of our board members is dissatisfied, and rightfully so, with our webpage. We can do a better job on that, and that's one of the things I'm going to charge him with. He's a young, enthusiastic guy, and it's right up his alley. So I'm going to ask him to work with our webmaster, I guess I would say it at this time, and see how we can improve that web page so people can get more information.
Oh, God love you. That's the understatement, by the way, of the decade, saying it needs improvement. I've never seen anybody who didn't know how to center on WordPress, but I don't suggest that whoever is doing this now should be doing this, because it's, well, you know, cats on the front page, on and on. So whoever's on the board, hooray for them. It's about time that the face of this looks better.
Well, I don't need to defend our webmaster. I look at when that web page was put up, the our district, our area really had some problems, and the visuals on there, I think, tried to demonstrate the problems. But we're past that. We're looking past that, and so maybe we can do things a little bit different. But our webmaster has been good to work with. We've just had our eyes on other things, and we've just basically said it is what it is. When we have time, we'll begin to look at improving it, and maybe right now we've reached that time.
Well, good. And on your meeting, too, people can address the board on call to the public, correct?
Yes, they can address the board,
yeah.
Tim, but
yeah.
we tell them flat out, we cannot respond
right
to those unless it's an issue that's on the agenda. And we do tell people that attend our meetings, we're not being dictatorial, because if we don't comply with the open meeting law, we'll be held to task. If you want something on the next agenda, it's clearly stated on the agenda with my email address and a date certain. If you want something on the agenda, email me and I'll consider putting it on there. And we've done that for this meeting. And in reality, when people submit written call to the public statements, we consider that for addressing at the next board meeting. And again, we are doing that. One of the people that came to the meeting in early January had an array of questions associated with board operations, with certain parts of the project. And I've got that on the agenda. We will address their questions. And I sent them an email saying, please come to the meeting because we're going to respond to your questions of interest. So yes, they can. If they want to talk to us individually after the meeting, they can approach us one-on-one. But again, as you understand, we have to be very careful that when somebody does that, they don't do that in a way that will you know, get two or three board members inadvertently together, and all of a sudden we've got a quorum, and now we're violating the open meeting law. Yes, they can address the board. We're limited in what we can say, but we try to work ways out so we can address their concerns.
Well, thank you, and I knew that because I've been in a million meetings. But I just wanted to let people know that they can go to your meeting and they can voice their concerns. And if they have a question, there's probably 100 people that have that same question, but nobody asks. And so if they do want or interested and have questions, and they can go to Call to the Public, ask the question, and as you say, on another meeting, you'll pull it into the agenda and address it. And so if one person has a question, a lot of people do, or if one person has a concern, a lot of people do, and so that I just wanted to hash over that one more time to let the people know that, you know, any meetings that are conducted that way to Call to the Public. And I think it's great that you take interest in putting that on a further agenda to address their questions and comments. So I just wanted to express that so maybe we can get some people at your meeting, because they're sure not calling in.
They are not today. Yeah, we've thought about dragging them off the street, but it's not working. Now, one thing Tim had mentioned to me, Bob, before we started was redistricting. And I will assume, though I don't know, does redistricting in any way have any effect on the TRSD?
I'm going to say no.
I'll go with what Tim says. I know that this redistricting has been a hot button in rural Arizona, eastern Arizona. I'm not sure how it all worked out. I don't know whether it changes our state representative. I haven't followed that. That's to my account. As far as I know, not. Since I've been on the board, we really have not had much input from our state representative. I think maybe at one meeting via Zoom, one of his staff listened in. But that would have been the most contact we would have. But we've had, you know, we've got really good relations with CAG, Central Arizona Government, and our Water Quality Management Plan. We've had good interfacing with ADEQ. So we've got a lot of that support, but from a legislative side, we haven't had much interfacing. So I don't think that would really bother us.
Good.
No, and even local, it's not going to change anything from where you're at now. There'll be few board decisions coming up, and the board members, if the lines do or do not change, the supervisors are not going to change.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the board, when you were there here not too long ago on an issue, all three voted for, you know, letting you go forward. And so I don't see that changing at all.
Speaking of districts and boundaries, and I believe I'm right, but you can confirm it, Bob, that now Vertical Heights is out of the district and Miami Gardens is out of the district?
Yes, both of those developments are out of the district. Okay. Vertical Heights was out several months ago. In fact, they were generally speaking out, but the final paperwork was not done. And I'd like to give a lot of credit to our board attorney, Mike Harper, out of Payson, who has a lot of experience working with what was Northern Gila County Sanitary District, is now Green Valley. Mike has been an addition to our board. He came on late November 2020, and he has really stabilized us. He's soft-spoken. He just, if we get out of hand at the meetings, Mike calms us down. But Mike was very diligent in finalizing the, what do we call that, the annexation of Vertical Heights. And he did a really great job getting Miami Gardens out. He just knows his P's and Q's. and he was very systematic in finalizing. In fact, he emailed me earlier last week with the final letter documenting, the final order, if you will, documenting that Miami Gardens is out of the district.
Excellent. Well, go Mike. That's great news.
He is. He's, and the people in Gila County think a lot of him, and that's a real asset for us. And I have to say this on the air. The support we have gotten from staff at Gila County has really been great. All across the board. Tim Terry has been great. Sherry Grice, Marion Shepherd, Mary Springer, Marion Shepherd's deputy. They've all really gone beyond what they need to do to help us out. Fighting deadlines to get on your agenda. They've been really good, and you supervisors as well. And I will reach out also. When this rumor was floating around 2 weeks ago about the Little League fields, I got a text message from one of our board members who was in Florida on personal family issue, saying she'd gotten a call from Linda that we were going to build the water treatment facility on the Little League site. And I got the text message late at night. I couldn't call her because she was in Florida. I called her that Saturday. I reached out to Linda Odnetto, who would kind of run the flag up for us. And Linda was just really great to talk to. They had, I guess, talked to the radio station where this blurb was going out, and basically got it shut down because they knew it was false information. We get a lot of support from the city of Globe and also from the town of Miami. So I think we, as three separate agencies or communities, are really working well together. And we are looking forward, as Tri-Cities, to partnering with Miami and Globe on maintenance activities and maybe operation activities at the wastewater plants in an effort to reduce the operating and maintenance costs. I don't know how that will materialize. That is something we have on our list of things to open up doing. But I know that's important to the supervisors, that we do everything we can to reduce costs, and we are looking at that.
That's great.
And I think it's great that everybody is working together, and I don't know if a lot of people know that, but there was a lot of things going around when Tri-City was trying to get started, and they said, well, you didn't have a DMA, you didn't have a boundary line. Well, get to looking at it, and I don't think Globe or Miami did either.
Right.
And so I remember working with CAG to get everybody sitting at the same table, and how sweet it is to be in a world today where you can get that many entities sitting down at a table and agree on where your boundaries are going to be and go forward. I was extremely proud to be a supervisor of a district where the City of Globe, Town of Miami, Tri-City, and County all sat down at the same table and worked things out to go forward. So I do believe as we go forward in working with Miami and Globe, I'm very hopeful that we will have the same communication and a lot of the same people pulling together for the community, and keep all the political entities working together instead of going separate. So yeah, that was a great deal, and I'm glad to hear that you said that, because I was very happy that everybody sat at the same table and worked it out. So I don't see why they can't as you go into phase 2 and 3.
Well, I hope we have open communications between ourselves, Miami, and Globe. And I'm not saying it hasn't been. I guess I should say I hope that continues, because you never know. You never know when you're doing something that may have an unintended effect on somebody else. And we want to avoid that as much as possible. And I'm sure that Miami and Globe have that same feeling, that same attitude. And it's only by being open and wait a minute, have you thought about this? that sort of thing. And that's why it's really important that people come to our meetings. Have you guys thought about this? And, you know, back to the call to the public, it's something like that that may prompt us to look at something a little bit differently. Everybody's got something to bring to the table. They just need to come to the table and tell us what it is. So, yeah, I'm hopeful that our communications continue and our cooperation continues the way it is now.
Well, good.
Have you got any questions for me? Come on, ask me a tough one. Show me a high-hard one.
I call and ask you anytime I have a question.
Right.
So, yeah, or tell you to come and talk to the Board of Supervisors or tell you, hey, Bob, come to the radio. If I have any questions for you, I haven't been shy. But I don't know what a real tough question would be at this time because you've covered a lot of things very, very well. And I appreciate it. And you do that every day. That's why we're making the progress that we have. And so,
well, I have to tell you, I was filled with trepidation. I thought you guys were laying in wait for me.
No.
But this has been a great conversation. I did not mean to dominate the conversation, but I really enjoy talking about Tri-Cities. Much to the chagrin sometimes of my wife. Because we're out of dinner, I'm talking about Tri-City.
Yeah, we were waiting for the public to grill you, and they just didn't call in to do that.
Well, I hope that doesn't express mean a lack of interest, because this is an interesting project, and has got so many buses that will be such a boon to this area. I firmly believe that, and that's why I carry the torch, and that's why I'm thankful for all the hard work the previous board members did, because we would not be where we are without their efforts. So I just want to give them a shout out and just tell them thank you. Thank you for everything you went through. I was some of those meetings in 2019 when the assessment district was going on, and God, they were like, nobody could hear anybody else because of the shouting. I even got involved in it one night, and I felt embarrassed about my attitude. But anyway, I've really appreciated you, Raleigh, and you, Tim, letting me come tonight and talk about Tri-Cities. And anytime you want to, anytime there's a question you have, a concern you have, please reach out to me. And if I can't answer it on the phone, or face-to-face, I will get you an answer.
No, that's great. I want to mention that this is recorded, and it will be a file downloadable at kqss.net, and it will air Sunday morning on KJAA at 8 a.m. So the file will be downloadable in perpetuity.
Well,
okay.
Okay, Bob. Well, I thank you much for your time this evening, I thank you for coming on and sharing a lot of that information, because I know a lot of people have questions, and if you're not answering them, then they're getting their answers at the grocery store. So I'm glad that you're getting public and you're speaking out and working on a website and just keep pushing, and that's all great news. So I thank you very much, and I thank you for being here this evening to share that with us.
Well, anytime, any place. That's my motto. Anyone, anytime, any place. Maybe not 3 o'clock in the morning, but we can find a time. But I thank you for having me on. Thank you all for being positive about Tri-Cities. And again, if you have a question, please call me. I'll be glad to talk.
All right. Thanks, Bob.
Thank you, sir. Well, good, Raleigh. That was informative.
Absolutely, and it took up the whole meeting.
It did. It did.
Which is great.
Which is great.
Yeah, we don't have to think of other things to talk about and entice people to call.
I've got a whole
aren't.
Sheet of things, but I don't know if we want to get into some of those, because some of the stuff like redistricting stuff it would be a long conversation at this point in time, but we can work on it on another day.
What I was thinking is next month maybe we'll have more definitive answers on it. We can start with that.
Well, I'm hoping we do, because right now we don't have many answers on it.
Right. All right.
Okay.
Well, so that's the deal. We thank Tim Humphrey for stopping by. I'm not thanking you. You didn't call. But if you want to hear it again, see, if you called, you could have heard yourself. But if you want to hear it again, just go to kqss.net. I'll get the file up as soon as I can. And then if you want to hear it on the radio again, well, Sunday morning at 8 a.m. on KJAA AM 1240 and FM 106.1.